Don't believe the establishment's cash ban lies and propaganda. Martin North, John Adams, in the interest of the people. Hello again, John.
Hello, sir.
So we've stirred up a hornet's nest.
We have stirred up a hornet's nest with this Morrison's cash transaction ban that that they released a legislation on in terms of Treasury. The people have been worked up about this particular issue. I would say it's probably one of our most strongest episode in a year of broadcasting. A lot of reaction, a lot of mobilization, politicians across the country being contacted by our viewers and people who are concerned about this particular issue. I've been on the phone, I've been working the phones, I've spoken to the Greens, to One Nation, to Cory Bernardi's office. I've spoken to Labor, and I'm meeting a Labor MP this afternoon. And I've spoken to several members of the government, and I was in Sydney yesterday, and I met with a lower house MP and an Australian senator from the Liberals about this particular topic. So I'm in their face talking about this, and the feedback I'm getting is we are hearing from our constituents on this matter, and it is registering as a matter of public importance.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because, it's, as you say, it's probably our most viewed posts on both the channels. But I also noticed that there's a little bit of an interesting debate going on between, is there really a connection between, clamping down on the black economy and making sure that people pay their taxes and the broader negative interest rate monetary policy question, right? And for many people, that connection still has not been made, which concerns me a bit because it's really very strong, isn't it?
Indeed. So there are claims by the government about what this policy is. There's the real agenda, which we exposed, and I was educating Liberals on the backbench and saying, I know what your government's really trying to do. This is not about the black economy. This is about monetary policy because the IMF technical working papers outline what's really going on. But also there are people who are saying that we're either scaremongering or we're exaggerating, and you've received some pushback from some media organisations who have said there is categorically no link between the government's policy and this global intention to implement deep negative interest rates.
Yeah, and let me just pause on that because I think this media issue is quite interesting, right? So I've had quite a few conversations across the media over the last few days since our first post, trying to get them to understand that this is a big deal, right? And essentially, pretty much to a person, they've come back and said, nah, look, this is only about just making sure that the tax that people should pay is being paid. The fact that it's 10K means it's not going to touch many people, and therefore there's nothing to see here, let's move on, right? So they are absolutely failing to see the connection. Now, I don't know whether it's because they're just a little bit dumb or whether it's actually a little bit more that they don't want to touch it because it's too much of a tiger by the tail if they started talking about it. But to my mind, the mainstream media are not doing Australians any great service by not touching this issue.
So the way I look at this is it is now an open, because the mainstream media won't report on this, is an absolutely open question. Do we have a fundamentally corrupt media? Or do we have a media that is just so dumb that they don't have two brain cells? I mean, the choice is that stark, because this is the greatest assault on economic freedom probably in the last two or three decades, and this is a huge deal.
The issue is, why is this important now, right? You know, because people are saying, well, the 10K is really a big number, and therefore it's not really significant.
Indeed, Martin. So there's clearly two issues at play that I want to call out here. The first one is that I've had some feedback from some people across the country and said, $10,000, I don't have $10,000 in cash. Is it a big deal? People are misunderstanding this legislation from two aspects. The first aspect is we have a positive interest rate environment now, and therefore people think that if they keep their money in the bank, it's no big deal. If we have negative interest rates, people's attitude to cash will fundamentally change, and people will want to have more access to cash and use that cash compared to today. So when people think about this potential law, they shouldn't be thinking about it in the current environment. They should be thinking, what if interest rates are negative 2, negative 3%? what will this legislation do to them and their economic freedom potentially in that sort of environment? So that's the first sort of, I think, flaw that some people are misreading about this law. And the second aspect is, the question is this law and the regulation, is this the last iteration in this war on cash? I take the view that this is only the first step. And as we get deeper into an economic crisis with deep negative interest rates, the war on cash will intensify. And so if we don't stop the government at this critical juncture, we're basically going to open up the floodgates to more loss of liberty and more regulation on this war on cash moving forward.
Yeah, and I said to Robbie in my show on the Walk the World channel that, this is a continued erosion of civil liberties, right? So there is a series of steps that we've seen over recent years, and we seem to be heading towards more control, less freedom. And so this is, another indication of that. But more specifically, this is absolutely to do with negative interest rates. And as you say, if you go negative on interest rates, then suddenly the role of cash changes. People will hold more cash out of the system because they are not losing value. Whereas if they hold it in the system, they will be losing value day in, day out, day in, day out. So people will want to hold more cash and transact more on cash terms. And therefore, you can see that this is now essentially a step to try and stop that happening.
Indeed. One point I will make is anyone who supports the Liberal Party, anyone who voted Liberal at the last election on the basis that they would protect your freedom, I can tell you categorically, as a former Liberal advisor, as a former member of the Liberal Party, there is absolutely zero commitment to liberty inside the Liberal Party. I had two meetings yesterday. I've had several phone calls over the weekend with Liberal MPs. Not one person expressed any concern about freedom. In terms of Liberal MPs, all of this is just concerned about making the Prime Minister happy. And why is the Prime Minister doing this? Why is the Treasurer doing this? It is because of dictates from the IMF, the BIS, and the global elites. That's the real story. So anyone who thinks that the government is concerned about the genuine interests of the people, there is, from what I can tell at this point, there is no concern. And if we don't apply maximum pressure on the government, they are going to pursue this this reckless policy, which I think will do irreversible damage to freedom in this country.
Right. Okay. And let's just highlight that there's the 12th of this month, the 12th of August, which is the closing date for submissions, right? So what we want to do now is to talk a little bit more about the context to help people think about their position and potentially perhaps encourage them to make some submissions into this process, because it's still not too late to have your say, is it?
Exactly. So today is Wednesday. The following month, this coming Monday, will be the last day for submissions. So I've already put my submission in, and my submission I've published on my website, adamseconomics.com. About 1,000 people have already come to read my submission. Everyone's happy to. It's freely available for people to come read. Now, a couple of people have said, "Can I copy your submission's good? Can I copy and paste it?" I'd advise against that. If Treasury receives identical submissions, they don't consider that as a separate submission. So everyone needs to put their own submission in their own words. But it's important that you do actually make a submission to Treasury to register your opposition to this bill. But your local MP, your senator, call them, email them, and say, "We know that this bill's coming up soon. We will oppose it." Now, so submissions end on the 12th of August. It's unclear as to when the government will bring this legislation to Parliament, but the first sittings starts on the 9th of September. So one should not underestimate that the government may try to bring this legislation forward in the week of the 9th or in the following week. And so if it's that soon, we have only 6 weeks to stop the government and Parliament from implementing this law.
And it's worth saying, of course, if you go back a couple of years to the bail-in legislation, that was snuck in through the back door, effectively hardly debated and nodded through.
Yes.
And so the risk is that they might even try that same game again here, which is why it's so important to be highlighting and stressing the criticality of this discussion.
Absolutely. So let's move the conversation on. So we have two sets of claims, the government's claims and our claims, and the media says, well, we think the government's claims are more credible. So let's actually first investigate the government's claims, and let's get, and then we'll go into this negative interest rate story. So the government says that this law is about the black economy, is about tax leakage, and it's about illicit criminal activity. So I'm going to quote to you from that one page handout that's on the Treasury website about this law, because they say, what's the rationale of the law? Quote, the introduction of an economy-wide cash payment limit is a recommendation from the Black Economy Task Force and sends a strong signal to the community that it is not acceptable to avoid tax and other obligations by paying with cash. So this is the government's intent, their stated intent in terms of the law. Now, there are multiple problems in terms of this statement by the government. First is, the government has provided no empirical evidence that the ban will actually improve or reduce, well, improve tax revenue, or it will actually reduce the black economy. Now, on the issue of tax, the government has not released not one figure to say by implementing this law, we will increase tax revenue. So how much additional tax revenue do they think they'll get by reducing the black economy? That they haven't stated. The other thing is that typically with controversial measures, governments tend to do cost benefit analysis. There is no cost benefit analysis that I can see that they've done on this. And I'm assuming if a journalist asks the treasurer or the assistant treasurer or the prime minister, has Treasury done a cost benefit analysis on this particular law before you put it out for consultation? The answer would be no. So again, there's this illusory statement of benefits. There are some definite hard costs around liberty and around erosion of civil liberties. And yet, do these benefits outweigh the costs? Well, the government says yes, but there's been no analysis in terms of that. Now, one thing that we didn't highlight in our previous episode that's important to highlight is there has been some international work done on this claim of cash bans and the impact on the black economy. And one of the leading experts is Professor Friedrich Schneider, who's a research fellow at the Institute of Labour Economics at the University of Linz in Austria. So he's a leading expert on the black economy, and he wrote a paper in 2017 specifically on this issue of do cash bans actually improve the black economy or not. And he has some very interesting things to say about that. So I'm going to go to one of the key statements from his 2017 paper. So the paper was called Restricting or Abolishing Cash, an Effective Instrument for Fighting the Shadow Economy, Crime, and Terrorism. So this is the quote. Cash reflects the fundamental relation between citizens or taxpayers and state authorities. Using cash means freedom, independence, and personal fulfillment for a citizen who doesn't want a state intervention when using cash. The voices calling for the limitation or abolishment of cash argue that tighter and more comprehensive state control over individuals' financial flows and funds will effectively fight crime, shadow economy, and terrorism. But in my opinion, we have weak empirical evidence. So this is one of the leading experts in the world who's saying that there is a lack of empirical evidence that this proposed law from the government is actually going to achieve the claims and the objectives that the government hopes that it's going to achieve.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, of course, what tends to happen is, and this goes back to my media conversations, as soon as you touch on anti-terrorism and, consistency in the tax system, right? That's almost axiomatic that it's great, then tick, move on, right? So no one's actually thinking about the real issues. And I think this quote's really powerful to just highlight just how critical this is.
Indeed. Now, one of the case studies that the professor uses in his paper is actually Sweden. He says that Sweden has, that they have been quite effective at eliminating cash in the Swedish economy, and yet there's been basically a negligible impact on the size of the shadow economy or the black economy in Sweden. Mm. So Sweden, according to the professor, is a case study that proves that this implementation of a cash ban will have no to negligible impact on the black economy. Therefore, the claims made by our government really need to be brought into question given this international evidence. But the other thing, one of the concluding quotes from the professor's paper that I just want to quote is, he says, quote, cash has a minor influence on the shadow economy, crime and terrorism, but potentially has a major influence on civil liberties. And so, you know, again, when Kevin Rudd first came to become Prime Minister, he said his government was going to be committed to evidence-based policy. So I mean, that's the paradigm in which Canberra has tried to operate, in particular the public service, since 2007. And so we have a policy. There is no evidence put forward by the government that this is going to work, no cost-benefit analysis, no regulatory impact statement, and yet we have an international expert who says the evidence that he has examined and cited says that this will not work to meet the government's objective. So if this Morrison government and the coalition are committed to evidence-based policy, the evidence doesn't support the implementation of this particular law.
And of course, the truth is that the majority of, you know, people avoiding tax and essentially you know, robbing the government of tax that they should be getting is more to do with corporates. It's more to do with the international connections between organisations and, of course, the big accounting firms, rather than actually looking at, you know, this small proportion of the total. It's just a very minor part, isn't it, of tax leakage.
Indeed. So that's the government's claim. The government's made a certain number of claims, no evidence. International experts dispute the government's claims. So let's get to our claims about this is a link between, you know, this law, the war on cash is linked to negative interest rates. Now, so our post last week, this is not the first time I've made this link. So in 2016, so the 16th of December 2016, when the like around that time when the government announced the establishment of the Black Economy Task Force, I wrote an op-ed piece for the Daily Telegraph in Sydney called, and the title is Cash Backlash. And I made the link then and there in 2016. So I've been on the record for 3 years openly saying that the government's real agenda in Australia is about negative interest rates. Now, when I wrote this piece, and the piece we'll put up on the screen, is that, you know, it's available on my website. If anyone can't find it on my website, send me an email. I will send it to them. I quoted an international paper that basically billed the cat on this issue. Now, the paper is the 2016 Geneva report by the International Center for Monetary and Banking Studies. Now, this report, again, it is publicly available. I'm not making this up. But let me read you, you know, one of the key paragraphs from the report in terms of what this report is trying to achieve. Quote, finally, the report examines a development that may eventually remove the lower bound on interest rates entirely, the trend towards cashless economies. If cash ceases to exist, so there is no riskless asset with a zero nominal return, central banks can make nominal interest rates as negative as needed to spur recoveries from recessions. As payment technologies evolve, some countries are already well on their way to eliminating the use of cash. An abrupt abolition of cash and an immediate move to deep negative interest rate is not practically or politically realistic, but someday we may live in cashless economies in which memories of the lower bound problem are dim. Now, I just want to make this point. This International Center for Monetary and Banking Studies and the contributors to this particular report, who are they? It's the IMF. It's the world central banks. It is the big commercial banks, like, you know, look at the big multinational banks. So the global financial elite gave their intellectual contributions to this paper in 2016. And that, I mean, it cannot be clearer that this is the stated intention of the global elites. And so when I read this paper in 2016 and I saw Kelly O'Dwyer as the Minister for Revenue announce the Black Economy Task Force, it was obvious what the agenda is. And this is why I wrote this piece for the Daily Telegraph back on the 16th of December, 2016.
So, John, one of the interesting things, you talk about the global elites, but then ask the question, right, who was involved in the Black Economy Task Force back in 2017-18, right? It's the global elites again, isn't it?
Indeed. Look, so the former head of KPMG, the global KPMG, which was an Australian, he wrote the task force, and there was a whole bunch of other elitists on this black economy task force pushing for this particular cash ban. So again, I mean, our elites are in cahoots with the global elites, trying to push these global solutions, and then they're trying to say it's nothing to do with negative interest rates. Well, again, you know, when the journalists say there's no link between the government's policy and in terms of negative interest rates, well, the Black Economy Task Force itself makes the link in the report. So this is a quote from the report. This is from Chapter 3, which talks about moving towards a near cashless society. It says, quote, some economists, including Ken Rogoff, former chief economist of the International Monetary Fund, argue that financial stability and the effectiveness of monetary policy may also benefit. So this is a quote directly related to the cash ban that the Black Economy Force recommended. So they made a recommendation, put in this $10,000 limit. By the way, this former chief economist from the IMF says it actually may help monetary policy. Well, what did Ken Rogoff say? So here's the thing. 25 September 2017 for the Wall Street Journal, Ken Rogoff talked about moving towards a cashless society. Now, in 2017, he was calling for the abolition of large denominated notes, like the $100 note, and this was a previous thing. It was mentioned in the Australian press, but here's the quote from the Wall Street Journal, September 2017. Quote, and this is Ken Rogoff. Another advantage of eliminating large bills would be the effect on monetary policy. The Federal Reserve should be able to implement negative nominal interest rates vastly more effective in the absence of large bills, which could prove quite important as a stimulatory tool in the next financial crisis. This is Ken Rogoff, which the Black Economy Task Force quoted, saying effectively, now it's a different technique about the war on cash, but he's saying the war on cash is about giving central banks more flexibility about pushing negative interest rates. And so again, if a journalist says there's no link, I mean, this is corrupt. This is absolutely corrupt, because the Black Economy Task Force quotes an economist, and the economist in his own words says this is about negative interest rates.
Yeah, John. So it's pretty much joining the dots, isn't it? Right? You've got the global elites, you've got the negative interest rate connection, and you've got that running through to the Black Economy Task Force, and suddenly cash transactions above $10,000 are going to be removed potentially. So you can see how it all links up now.
Of course, but the other thing is so early in the year when we did the show, The War on Cash is a War on the People, we quoted the IMF. So the IMF itself, so again, when a journalist says there's no link, just go to the IMF blog that was posted in February 2019, because there's a serious quote I'm going to read to you, but it's so open. Again, if the mainstream media don't report about this, it just proves how corrupt our country is. So quote, cashing in, how to make negative interest rates work. While the global economy has been recovering, future downturns are inevitable. Severe recessions have historically required 3 to 6 percentage point cut in policy rates. If another crisis happens, few countries would have that kind of room for monetary policy to respond. Now, on this first quote, who are we talking about? We're talking about us, because we're at 1%. So if we have a global financial crisis tomorrow and we need to cut 6%, well, where does it go? It goes to deep negative interest rate, -4%, -5%. So the quote from this paper goes on. In the cashless world, there would be no lower bound on interest rates. A central bank could reduce the policy rate from, say, 2% to -4% to counter a severe recession. The interest rate cut would transmit to bank deposits, loans, and bonds. Without cash, depositors would have to pay the negative interest rate to keep their money with the bank, making consumption investment more attractive. This would jolt lending, boost demand, and stimulate the economy. Again, this is the IMF saying about why do we need a cashless society, but it also goes on. It says, quote, when cash is available, however, cutting rates significantly into negative territory becomes impossible. Cash has the same purchasing power as bank deposits, but at zero nominal interest. Moreover, it can be obtained in unlimited quantities in exchange for bank money. Therefore, instead of paying negative interest, one can simply hold cash at zero interest. Cash is a free option on zero interest and acts as an interest rate floor. So this is the biggest open and shut case in public policy in 2019. The IMF, Ken Rogoff, who are openly saying that cash is a limit to negative interest rates, and this is what the war on cash is all about. So again, when a mainstream journalist says there's no link, it's bullshit.
Yep, it's pretty clear.
There's just one more quote just to round this off. So from the same blog post, and it says, quote, "One option to break through the zero lower bound would be to phase out cash, but that is not straightforward. Cash continues to play a significant role in payments in many countries." They know it's politically difficult to eliminate cash, but they know they need to get rid of it if they're going to stop. Now, here's the thing. When I met with this Liberal senator yesterday, and I said that if you cannot stimulate the economy in the next financial crisis and this global debt bubble implodes, it's going to be the biggest depression in world history. Why? Because it's the biggest debt bubble in the history of the world. So remember, global debt as a proportion of global GDP is more than 300%, never happened in world history. And so this is why policymakers are so desperate to push interest rates to -3, -4, -5%, because they're trying to stop the biggest depression in world history. But again, they're trying to trap citizens in a system, and this is what this law is all about.
Yeah, it's so transparent, it's so clear, and so worrying, and yet the media don't want to touch it. There's a few other things we should just cover before we finish, right?
Yep.
And one of them relates to the ASX.
Indeed. One of the things that citizens have to realise is negative interest rates are coming. Now, the government hasn't admitted to it, but I've told politicians, I told politicians yesterday, your government's going to implement it. The Reserve Bank has been telling the commercial banks that they're going to implement it. We already have negative interest rates around the world. I think there were some comments in our last show to say that we're pushing a conspiracy theory. Well, here's the thing. The ASX itself, the stock exchange, put out a press release in the last fortnight, and this press release was reported by Bloomberg and the AFR and a few others, and we'll put it up on the screen, and they're basically saying that the ASX are recalibrating their investment products and their trading systems to allow for trading of products with negative interest rates. So the ASX are preparing for an environment of negative interest rates so investors can trade in that environment. So again, we're not making this up. I mean, negative interest rate exists around the world. The Reserve Bank is telling people privately it's coming, and the ASX is now openly saying that they are changing their system so that if we have negative interest rates, investors can trade on the stock exchange in that environment. I mean, again, what else do we have to say other than it is so obvious that negative interest rates are coming. But again, just to go back to the point we made in the last post, the government said nothing about this in the election. There is no democratic mandate for negative interest rates. I fundamentally oppose negative interest rates. But the elite are going to force this down our throats. There's nothing that we can do that in terms of what the elite think. I mean, the elite think that they have so much power, both physically, militarily, as well as psychological power in this country, they're just going to implement this and say, suck it up.
Right. But the fact of the matter is, we've still got a small window to really make sure that they understand that, one, we understand what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And two, we don't agree with it.
Indeed. So we do have about 5 days left to put in a submission. And then once the submission's closed, again, I say to every citizen watching this, do not underestimate the power you can have on politicians by, if you call them up, if you send them emails, and you basically say, we will vote you out of power if you vote for this bill. Because I have had some very frank conversations with some politicians already, and I basically said to them, I said to people in the government, this will backfire on your government if you pursue this. This is bad policy, it's bad politics, and talk the PM out of this.
Yeah, and in the interests of the people, and it is in the interest of the people.
Absolutely.
Right? Make your voice known, because this is dumb policy. It's really stupid. It dilutes civil liberties, but more importantly, it also sets the bear trap for deep negative interest rates down the track.
Indeed. Now, one of the things I have said to multiple parties, from the government to the opposition to the Greens, One Nation, and Bernardi's office, is the first politician who's willing to go public against this bill and want to come and talk to our audience, we are open to inviting that politician in. So I've made this invitation open to multiple parties and individuals in the parliament. And so we may have some news on that, but we are happy to engage. But also on the other hand, if someone thinks this is actually good policy and thinks we're fundamentally wrong, I'm happy to have that person come on and debate us. I don't think they've got a leg to stand on, but we're not going to censor if anyone wants to have a, because we're the only ones sort of really wanting to have this debate. If people want to debate us on one side of the argument or the other, come on the show. Let's have it out, because it's better to flush these policy questions out in civil discourse as opposed to just keeping the public at bay and not talking about this, because by self-censoring and not talking about these controversial matters, you fuel an environment of conspiracy, and it's better to have these things out in the open.
Yep, and so we're happy to take points on both sides of the argument, but at the moment it's hard to see what the other side of the argument is, right, basically on what we've discussed here today.
Indeed. Yeah. So in conclusion, Martin, the bill is the greatest assault on economic freedom in the last two or three decades. The government has made a series of claims that it will deal with the black economy. International experts dispute the government's claims. The government has no empirical evidence to suggest that they will achieve its policy objectives. The bill will, it's all about negative interest rates. Any journalist who says that there is no link, we have quoted, Ken Rogoff's quoted in the Black Economy Task Force. We have quoted that particular economist. We have quoted the IMF. We have quoted other sources in our previous posts. The link is absolutely crystal clear. One of the things, when I've gone and done some recent speeches around the country, the CEC have invited me to speak at some of their seminars. I've told these people, I can't save Australia. Martin North can't save Australia. Robbie Barwick can't save Australia. If the citizens themselves don't stand up and defend their own country, they're going to lose freedom. And that's why when we had that previous post, we played that Charlie Chaplin speech at the end. What did he call for? He called for individuals to stand up, because if we don't, basically we are going to have a regime that's going to basically trap people in a financial system, and their wealth is going to be sucked out by the banks.
Right, and I think it's worth saying finally, it's a bit un-Australian to start standing up and raising issues, right? Because it's a lovely sunny day and Aussies say she'll be right. The point is, this is a really critical issue, and if you don't stand up, you're going to live to regret it.
100%.
Martin North, John Adams, in the interest of people, we'll see you next time.